Yeah, I do. You don't ask the question unless you want to know. It's just the way it is. So anyway, a couple things. I'm going to reemphasize some things. First of all, I want to thank those who came in yesterday to decorate the church. And I appreciate that. I happen to be somewhere else, somewhere at the Mecca in Columbus. So anyway, adopt a family. This is serious stuff. This is what we do. And so take a look at each thing. I think there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway to sign up so that we don't overlap gifts. But a lot of people have a lot of need at Christmas. And it just behooves us to share our blessings with others. And so pray over this, fill it out, and we'll go from there. There's also one other family. It's not on that list, and we can give details at some other point. But if you are interested in who they are, come see me. I'll let you know. Stand with me. We'll read this responsive reading. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead those with their young. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we look forward to your coming. We look back at your first advent. And Father, we are looking with anticipation at the return of our Lord and Savior. Father, today, bless us in this place, and we will give you glory and honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Today's the first Sunday of Advent. The candles around the first one is hope, sometimes called the candle of prophecy. The second is love. The third, the pink candle, is for joy. And the fourth candle is peace. And those are things that we look forward to this time of year. It's all the, you know, we need to get past all the hustle and bustle, get past all those things that take our attention away and focus on why we're here and what we do during this season. The Christmas season is or should be all about him. We remember back at the baby that was in the manger, the one who grew to become the Savior of the world. But we don't all just look back at his first advent. We look forward to his coming again. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says we do communion, that we proclaim his death until he comes. And so I did some research this week about everybody, or not everybody, but certainly at least one or two people, who have claimed that Jesus was coming, and he didn't. Y'all know anybody like that? They've said Jesus is coming, but he didn't. A couple years ago, there was a billboard up at Morrison Hamilton, and I think I don't know, might be 2012. I'm not sure the date, but I think it was May 22nd. It said, "Get ready, Jesus is coming." I wonder how many people got ready because they thought Jesus was coming. In the late 19th century, a wave of prophecies occurred about when the Lord would come back. A guy named William Miller, who was an Adventist, He was also the founder of both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists. Made a prophecy that Christ would return on March 21st, 1842. Later, he revised that to April 3rd, 1843. 3,500 of his followers filled the Boston Advent Temple. Jesus didn't come. Well, that didn't deter him. He recalculated and then declared that Jesus was coming back on April 18th, 1844. Again, Jesus didn't come. Miller set yet another date. Do you think, I'm just thinking, if you heard him doing this and he failed the first three times, wouldn't you say, there's not a chance I'm going to listen to this guy anymore? Wouldn't a reasonable person assume that? However, he set another date, October 22nd, 1844, but this time he got serious. He published the date as the Midnight Cry. People became really enthused. The churches that doubted this were called Babylon, or Temples of Satan. Thousands of people, including many clergy, joined the Millerites. One account said this: fields are left unharvested. Shops are closed. People quit their jobs, paid their debts, and gave away their possessions. It was proclaimed that the time is short. Prepare to meet thy God. The Lord is coming. But October 22nd, 1844 came and went. And Jesus didn't return. In the scripture that is in your bulletin today, in Luke chapter 13, I'm going to start reading in verse 32. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servant in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. No one knows. I used to get this magazine called Leadership Magazine, and this is meant to be humorous. But anybody ever been to I think maybe in the 70s was the biggest outbreak of all the prophecy conferences. Everybody was studying the book of Revelation. Everybody was trying to determine when Jesus would come, when everything was going on. And I remember seeing people with boatloads of books and notebooks going to these conferences and coming home. But Jesus didn't come. He will come. But there was this cartoon in Leadership Magazine. There was a picture, and the two people in the picture were obviously God the Father and the Son. And so Jesus says, "So, Dad, when am I going to go back?" And you remember all the charts from those prophecy conferences? Everybody had a chart, a timeline. And the Father was studying these charts, and he said, "I don't know, Son, whenever I can figure out the charts." But the fact is, we're so concerned about setting dates and going to conferences and trying to figure out when the Lord is coming back instead of living our lives for the fact that he might come back today. He might come back tomorrow. We don't know when he's coming back. No one knows except the Father. And yet, time after time after time, people have set dates saying that he's coming. What it does say here, though, be on guard. Keep awake. I wonder, do we live our lives in expectation of his coming? I mean, really, do we really live our lives in expectation of his coming? Is there anything you and I would change if we knew he was coming this afternoon? Or if we knew he was coming tomorrow? Is there anything that would change? I was going to save this for the end, but it seems like it's appropriate now. John Wesley one day was working in his garden when a neighbor came by to visit. The neighbor attempted to jolt John Wesley by asking, "What would you be doing now, John, if you knew for certain Jesus would come today?" Wesley answered his neighbor, I would go right on doing what I'm doing. So I guess the question for us is, what would you be doing if you knew for certain the Lord would come back today? Because if it's anything other than what we're doing, then we better do an inventory. We better take a look at how we're living our lives. We better start looking forward to the day when he comes. I don't know about you, but that just makes sense to me. One of these days, he's going to show up, and we need to be ready. It's like the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 were not. Those 5 were taken, the 5 that were ready. So the question is for all of us, we're looking forward to him coming. We look back at the baby in the manger. We look back at Emmanuel, God with us. We look back at the announcement of the angels, "Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We look back at those things and we celebrate that. But Advent also means his coming. So if you believe the Lord is coming back, do you believe that today? Amen. I mean, really, do you believe the Lord is coming back or not? If we believe that he's coming back, then it's time to get ready if we're not already ready. Question is, do you believe? Do you believe? That's a question for all of us, isn't it? The only way you can be ready is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the question is, do we? You see, you can be a church member and sit here every Sunday morning for the next 100 years and not be saved. You could have been baptized 35 times and not be saved. Your name could be on the membership roll of any church and not be saved. The question is not, am I affiliated with Christ? The question is, do I know him? Do I know him as my personal Savior? Do I believe that he is who he said he was? Do I believe the promises of God that if anyone should confess with their mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved? Do we believe that or not? Because the time to get ready is now. If you're not already prepared, the time to get ready is now. So I challenge anybody in this room who is not a believer, today is the day. Today is the day to realize you're a sinner. Today is the day to ask God to forgive your sin. Today is the day to confess that you need a Savior. Today is the day to invite the Lord of the universe into your life. Because then and only then will we be prepared. Anybody awake in here today? Just a question. Be on guard. Keep awake. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. A couple things I want us to notice about this scripture today. Look at verse 24 in chapter 13. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. There is coming a day when Jesus comes again. There is coming a day when not only does Jesus come again, but he gathers God's elect. He gathers those who believe in him, and he catches them up in the sky, and he takes them to be with him. There is coming a day. I can't be more adamant about that this morning. There is coming a day when he is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Do you believe that he's the Christ? Do you believe that he's the Messiah of God? Do you believe that there is only one way to heaven and it's through Jesus Christ? Do you believe that you're ready? He is coming again. The second thing is the hope of his return. Verse 30. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he suddenly come or lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be awake, stay awake. Right before I came to church, I came in 1989, but in 1988, a man named Edgar Wisenant, who was a NASA scientist, pretty sharp guy, published two books on the second coming. The first book was 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. The second title was On Borrowed Time. 300,000 copies of that book were mailed to ministers for free across America. 300,000 copies. 4.5 million copies were sold. And Wisenant was quoted as saying this, "Only if the Bible is in error am I wrong. And I say that to every preacher in town." Can you imagine the arrogance of that man? Only if the Bible is in error. And he says that after we read in the scripture that no one knows. How can you be that arrogant? Only if the Bible is wrong or in error am I wrong. But that didn't stop him. He made several other prophecies. 89 reasons why the rapture will occur in 1989. This time, evangelical Christians started to believe him. Even the Trinity Broadcast Network gave regular programming to getting ready for the rapture. You talk about being deluded. Again, what we need to emphasize here is that Jesus said, no one knows the time. How is it then that we can think that we know more than he does? And yet that happens, doesn't it? 89 reasons, 88 reasons. He also made predictions. 1993, 1994, all the way through 1997. But Jesus still didn't come. Do you think, I think I could, if I started a huge campaign that Jesus is going to come in 2017, do you think I could get followers? Do you? There are a whole lot of naive people who don't know the Word of God, who are willing, they're like lemmings, they'll follow anything. But if we publicize it, if I could just get Jerry or Wally or Rick to help me out with this, we could spread the news and we could draw a lot of people in. I could write a book and become very wealthy. Or better yet, I could write several books. But would that guarantee that Jesus is coming? No, absolutely not. So here we are at Advent, rejoicing that Jesus came and looking expectantly to his second coming. Are you ready? We're going to celebrate communion. As we celebrate communion, let's not take it as an obligation. Let's not consider it that we need to do it because everybody else is doing it. Let's take time this morning and realize that we have to have communion with our Lord. And you can only have communion with him if you know him. But we invite you this morning. You don't have to be a member of this church. You just need to be a member of his church. We invite you to worship at his table this morning. Communion might take a little longer this morning, but that's okay. We have a little longer to do it. And if we didn't have a little longer, we'd take the time.